I won't say more. I'll let you do the rest.
Thank you, David. Good morning. Happy to be here. Excited to be in the house of God. It's really a blessing to be here this morning. I want to thank the band and the sound guys. You guys are really growing. It's so lovely to see, and it was really enjoyable. Praise God. As you can hear, I might have to get some medical advice from some of you about my chest and my voice. But yeah, as we go, please pray that my voice will last till the end. And I'm sure it will. Please don't eat them now. Yeah, that's great. This morning, as you receive your plant, is it mint? Wow. Very cool. I need to just honor Philip, Pastor Philip from the Shofar Congregation in Pretoria in South Africa. They had a little mini conference happening there a few weeks ago, which was called Planted. And I listened to some of these sessions and I was really inspired. And I know this is a season for us as a body, as Shofar, this is a word for us in season. And I'm pleased to share it this morning. But as I said, Pastor Philip really inspired me. So all just credit to him. Right, does everybody get one? Good. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we can come boldly into your presence this morning by the blood of Jesus. We thank you that you've made a new and living way for us to come to you, God. And this morning, we boldly come, Father. We thank you, God, that we don't have to be ashamed, Lord. We can come to you just as we are. And this morning, we yield to you, God. We submit ourselves to your word. Lord, we thank you that you sent Jesus as the Word in the flesh, God. And we thank you that your Word is alive. And this morning we ask, Holy Spirit, that you come and shape us, God. That you transform us, even as we sit and listen to your Word. That you would change us, God, into the image of your Son, Lord, in Jesus' name. God, our desire is not only to get information, Lord, but our desire is to receive impartation from you, Lord. And we come with that expectation this morning. We thank you that as we yield to you, God, that you... You come and meet us where we're at, God, in the name of Jesus. Let your name be lifted up in this place, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Great. Okay. We're going to read from Isaiah 61. This is the verse that when Jesus was about to start his ministry, it was his turn to read from the scriptures in the local synagogue there in the temple, and he read this scripture in John. We also read it in the Gospels, and then he basically said, in your hearing now today, this scripture is fulfilled. So let's read what he read there. Very well known, but we focus mostly on the first bit. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Normally we kind of go up to there, and that's kind of what we know the most. But what's amazing is that we not only know God, we not only know Jesus as the one who comes to save and to redeem and to restore and to renew, but we know him as our Savior, as our healer. But then we see after that, he actually says, he tells us why. There's a purpose to all of this. And he says that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Isn't that powerful to know that, yes, we are saved. Yes, we know a relationship with God through Christ. Yes, we've been redeemed. But we not only have been redeemed to now have a nice, comfortable relationship with God until we die. We have been redeemed for a purpose. And when we come to Christ, He not only starts this renewing process from the inside, but He also starts to realign us with His purpose and His plan. If you look at creation all around us, if you look at the way things work, the other day I was eating a banana. Do you guys eat bananas? Not really. People are looking at me. I love to eat the banana the way we used to eat it when we were children. You hold it in your hand and then you peel it from the top. You've never done that before. And then you eat it with the peel halfway down. But in any case, have you noticed how well designed the banana is? Have you noticed that? If you put it in your hand, it fits perfectly. It's got the shape fits perfectly in your fingers like that. There's two big parts and then there's a few smaller ones. Have you noticed that on a banana? It's not exactly the same all the way around. There's two bigger ones for these bits. You must have a look next time. And it's got this clever tab on the top for easy opening. Have you seen that? But don't put it the wrong way around. It's not going to work. It's like a Coke can, you know. It's got this easy tab thing. Do you think they thought of that first? No, they got that from the banana. It's got this tab thing, and just pull it open. It's perfectly designed. Okay, I'm not going to go into that. But yeah, all around us we see the purpose of God and the purposefully creating something. In the same way, He has purposefully created you and me. And we see here Christ saying that we might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. And then very powerfully He says, it talks about the old ruins, desolations, ruined cities. And you know, guys, when we walk across maybe this campus or in this community or in our cities, in our nation, if we look in the spirit, we see ruins. There's problems. Do you agree? This country is not flourishing spiritually. It's in ruins to a certain extent spiritually. And this is what He's talking about, that we, you and I, are here to see the ruins rebuilt. The body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, we will see the ruins rebuilt. Amen? So when you walk through this campus, even on in this hospital, you might see ruins. You might see, okay, things aren't looking so good, but at the same time, you know, we are here to rebuild. We are here. Jesus, God has put us here to rebuild. To rebuild the old ruins, raise up former desolations, repair the ruined cities and the desolations of many generations. So I want to encourage you with that. This has been going on for many years. Many have given their lives for the sake of the gospel in our nation. And we have the privilege of walking in their footsteps. And now when we look at the picture of, he says, they would be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Now, very important here, we're going to talk a lot about this whole planting thing this morning. But firstly there, who does the planting? The Lord does the planting. Okay, I just wanted you to remember that. We're going to talk about it again later. God does the planting. Amen. But often in Scripture we see us people being compared with trees. Have you seen that? Like Psalm 1, you know, talking about Him that will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bearing fruit in its season, etc. But there's only one scripture that actually not only compares us something like a tree, it actually says, it speaks of us as people being planted, which is a bit weird. But it's going to make more sense now. Let's read from Psalm 92, which is the little scripture in your plant. From verse 13. Can you still understand what I'm saying? Is it okay with me? It's like... Okay, Psalm 92 verse 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Wow. This sounds so healthy, this picture. It says, it speaks of somebody being planted. It speaks, I see they're flourishing and fresh and flourishing. It sounds amazing. How many of you feel fresh and flourishing this morning? I don't, to be honest. but it's a powerful picture of God's plan for us. He says, those who are planted in the house of God, in the house of the Lord, shall flourish. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. So powerful there. And that speaks for me of the abundance of life that Christ came to die for. He says, I've come that you may have life, have it more abundantly. And this is a picture of that abundance of life. Fresh, flourishing, you know, strength there, health. It's amazing. And when we look at this picture, you know, have you ever tried to uproot a healthy tree or plant? Okay, this one is still small, but you know, most trees start off small like this. Okay, but if you look at in the common or just in the woods around, you look at some of those trees, they're huge. And they started obviously this size as a seed, and it's amazing to see how healthy those trees are. They've been there for many, many years, and they're going nowhere. Strong, rooted, flourishing. Have you ever tried to uproot one of those? It's not fun. It's almost impossible. The other day, I took on a little shrub in my garden. Any keen gardeners here? I must be honest, I wasn't a keen gardener till a few weeks ago when we moved to a place with a garden. Now, I don't have a choice. So now I am a gardener. But I took on this thing. It didn't look like much on the outside. It had a few stems. But I didn't know where they all got together at the bottom, and underneath it had this huge root. I struggled and struggled and struggled. You can ask my wife. It was a bit embarrassing. You know, at one stage, I was just sweating, and I was trying to chopping at it, and I bought some tools that day, you know, not having had a garden before, and I almost broke all of them on this thing. I bent the shovel, and I bent the fork looks like this now. It's like all over the place. But it's hectic. It's so difficult to get rid of a healthily rooted tree or a plant. And but that's how God wants us to be. He wants to put us in an environment where we flourish. He wants us to put us in an environment where we're healthy, where we bear fruit, and where we flourish in His purpose. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Now, if I want to feed my little daughter, Abigail, for those of you who haven't met her, you've missed out, but hopefully we'll get her opportunity soon. She's 8.5 months, and she's the most amazing little girl. Zoe Joy is also beautiful, Sally. But when I want to feed her, and this is getting quite interesting these days because she's realizing that she can close her mouth or she can spit things out again. She's kind of getting the hang of this thing now. And so when I want to feed her, I just, you know, try and get something into her mouth and hopefully stays there. But how do you feed a plant? How do you feed this little thing? Water. Where do you put it? On top of the leaves. In the soil. That's a good place. Yes, when we want to feed a plant like this, or a tree, or whatever, we need to feed the soil. Okay, we need to make sure the soil is healthy. We need to make sure the soil has the nutrients it needs, and has everything it needs right there. Okay? And if the soil is good, and if the environment is good, and the environment is right, it's going to be blessed. And that's exactly where God wants us to be. He wants us to be in a healthy soil, in an environment where we can flourish, where we can get the nutrients we need, and where we can grow as Christians and bear fruit. Now, if we look at this kind of flourishing picture, and exactly this person that wrote this psalm, David, is one of the great examples of somebody that is so clearly to see the hand of God in his life. Amen. We see him come. He knew amazing defeats, but also amazing successes. But he knew the hand of God. He was a man after God's heart. And I'm just going to read one or two scriptures about from his life and what he wrote about the house of God. Because he got this thing about being planted in the house of God, in the body of Christ. He got that thing. Read with me from Psalm 27, from verse 4. David writes, he says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, That I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. You see this thing? This is the mighty king, the warrior king. He's got this huge empire. Okay? It's really, if you go and you just don't even look at the Bible only. Go and look at historical records of David's empire. It's quite impressive. He says, this one thing I desire. He was a man of great means. At the top, you know, at the pinnacle of his career as a king, I mean, it was a massive empire. He says, one thing I desire, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. So he's caught something here. He's kind of valuing this being planted in the house. And I think it's worth looking into, okay? He says, one thing I desire, that I will seek. And then verse 5, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. So he knows the place of safety. He knows the place of security. He knows that place of being rooted safely in the house of God. Flourishing, planted, safe. He knows the place of safety. And if you look at those massive trees out there, if you've been to some of these commons around here, huge, massive trees, healthy, strong, they're going to be there for many years. But they stay there. You see, they don't move around. I'm going to get more to that later. But they know, they're rooted. They're in a stable place, just the way God wants us to be in His house. Stable, rooted, safe, secure. Now, what do you think is the quickest way I can kill this plant? Uproot it. Yes, you guys are so sharp this morning. Yes. I say if I had two of these, okay? But there's a few extra, so maybe there's some more here. In any case, say I had two of these, and I wanted to do an experiment. So I took one out of the little, and I pulled it out of the soil, got rid of all the soil, and put it on somewhere in my kitchen or on the windowsill, and I put another one in the pot like this next to it, and I water both of them, right? And I water them every day, and after a week, do you think there will be a difference? Yes, the one will be dead, and the one will look like this, and it will be a bit bigger. Amen? So the quickest way to kill something like this is to uproot it. The quickest way to kill a young tree is to uproot it, to get it out of the soil. And that's all of you looking like me. Okay, well, that's duh. I mean, everybody knows that. If you want to kill a plant, you uproot it. Everybody knows that. But how funny is it that spiritually we don't get this? If the enemy of our soul, the devil, wants to kill you spiritually, what will he do? He will uproot you. He will try to get you out of the body. He will try to get you uprooted. He will try his very best to get you distracted with all kinds of other things and get you out of the body. Out of that soil that is where your nutrient and your health and your strength comes from. Does that make sense? And that's often, and that's unfortunately what often happens, people get hurt. Okay? In church, we deal with humans. It's one of the unfortunate things about church, we're humans involved. When we have humans, we offend one another and we get in each other's hair and somebody gets hurt. So that's unfortunately one of those things. But what happens then is we get hurt, and then I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go somewhere else. And if this little plant decides that I don't like this soil anymore, I'm going somewhere else, it's problems. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. So I want to encourage you guys, if you know somebody, a lot of what I'm saying this morning might be relevant to you, but also to a lot of people that you know. I want to encourage you to take hold of this word and to go and encourage some people. If you know somebody that got hurt in church, is avoiding the body, avoiding church, I want you to pray for them, because the best place, if this little tree gets hurt, okay, maybe it's sick, maybe it's got some kind of sickness, maybe it's got a branch broken off. If I uproot the thing, I'm transplanted, I'm basically ensuring it's going to die. Okay, that's the worst thing to do if something is already damaged. If something is damaged, a plant like this is damaged, you leave it right there. Don't fiddle anymore. Just give it the right food. Keep it in the soil. It doesn't make sense. Same with us. If you get hurt in church, I know this is difficult. Stay right there. Because your healing will come right there in that same body where you got hurt. I'm not talking about a church that turns into a cult and then doesn't preach the word of God anymore. Okay, I'm not talking about that. But if you're in a healthy church and somebody hurt you, you got hurt in a way, stay there. Because your healing will happen right there. God's provision for your healing will be right there. Amen. See what else David writes. Psalm 23, very well known. He says in verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Do you think David has understood the secret to his success? He's understood, if I keep myself rooted in the house of God, if I dwell in the house of the Lord all my days of my life, I know goodness and mercy will follow me. I don't have to run after goodness and mercy. I don't have to run after things. They follow me. How's that? You know, it sometimes feels like we're always running after something. No, I'm running after a promotion, or I'm running after a career, or maybe if I get that job, I'm going to earn a good salary. Maybe, I don't know what you guys are running after. It's the students. But you know, we're sometimes running after things. And he says, they follow me, these things, because I'm planted in the right place. Because I'm where God wants me to be. I'm in the house of the Lord forever. David has caught this thing. And we can see the fruit in his life. Amen. It's blessed. It's flourishing. And there's an abundance. And then 122 verse 1. "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" Look at this. You know, when I was a little boy, and my dad dragged me out of bed on a Sunday morning, I was not glad when they said to me, "Let's go to church." I was not. But David caught this thing. And it took a few years for me to become glad. Because then I understood something about church. Guys, I don't know, but this is amazing to see the heart of David. He's passionate about the house of God. He's passionate. He says, "Let's go. I want to go to church." And if we go like that, I tell you, somebody wouldn't want to come with. I said, "Wow, where are you going? You're so excited about that." Somebody will want to come along. But look, we see that in David's life. He's passionate. He's excited. He understands what's happening there. He understands his success is connected to his being in a body, in a church, and rooted and planted there. If I have to be really honest with you guys, if I have to look back over my life, it's not like there's that many years to look at. Okay, I know it looks like I'm old, but it's just my beard that's getting gray. But if I look over my life, every good thing, every positive thing, everything that has lasted has happened while I was in the body, where I was planted in church. Every amazing testimony that I have, I can look back and it's there. It's there because I'm in the church, because I'm planted, because I'm in a body. Seriously. Even my wife I found in a church. Amen. We were on a mission trip together. Isn't that a good place to find a wife? And I want to encourage you guys. David saw this. He saw good things happen when he keeps himself rooted in the house of God. He saw himself flourishing. And you can see that he says, "It's one thing that I desire. One thing." Okay, now another way to kill this little plant. Or if you... This is really nice. I must actually chew on a piece. But then it goes. Another way to kill this, if I were to transplant it every second day. Say, okay, now your time is up in the soil. Let me move you on. It's not going to like that. It's going to die. Why? Because they could take a while to get used to the environment. And then they can grow again. The roots take a while to settle, and then they grow. We're the same. You can't transplant somebody from church to church. And we do that. We call it, sometimes people do that. They call it church hopping. It's not healthy. Okay? If you know people like that, pray for them. Encourage them. You cannot transplant. And have you ever seen it? You know, I've just planted some things in my garden. If I come out one morning and I see that in a different spot, do you agree? I'm not going to be blessed. I planted them there. Now they come out in the morning. Now they're there. Okay, this is not funny. You guys are a tough crowd this morning. But yeah, so you know, God does the planting. Okay, He's the gardener in charge. He does the planting. Okay? So we don't decide, okay, now this is it. I've had enough of this soil. I'm moving on. If you do that enough times, you're going to die spiritually. And the powerful thing is, the moment I understood this thing in my life, that it's not up to me where I get planted. It's up to God. And if He's put me in a place, I remember coming when I came to London for the first time. I worked here for a number of months. And now for a few weeks, I wasn't in a church. I was looking for a church. Okay. I was hopping, visiting here, visiting there. And I saw, this is not good. I saw, and the Lord spoke to me, said, you must find a church, get into a body. And I just realized this is not safe for me to be on my own. And I found a body, and I was planted. But this moving around, and the thing is, even there I had to pray about where I should be planted. Because it's not my decision. Amen? Yes, obviously I will look at churches. If I move into a different area, I look at churches. I pray about it, but ultimately I need to hear from God. Because He does the planting. Amen? So I believe you guys are here because God has put you here. But if you have friends out there that are confused and are hopping around, encourage them to pray. Pray for them that they will find them, that they will see where God is planting them and that they will stay there. Can you still understand? Is it getting worse? Now, I want to read a very cool scripture. Don't put it on yet. But it's the 1-2-3 scripture. Ephesians 1:23. Easy to remember. If you've ever wondered how God sees the world, okay? Don't put it up yet. Don't focus. Okay, if you've ever wondered, thanks man. If you've ever wondered how God looks at the world, this gives you a glimpse of how God sees the world. It's quite cool. Often, you know, we kind of go through life, we don't really understand how it looks like from His perspective. Okay. Now I'm going to read this from the Message translation, which I don't really use often when I preach, but the specific one is very good. Ephesians 1:23. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which He speaks and acts, by which He fills everything with His presence. How's that? The church. This is how God sees the world. When He looks at George's, He doesn't see, oh, there's a hospital, and He looks at two tickets, and oh, there's a hospital, and first thing He sees is His body. And He says, oh, there's other stuff also happening, but He sees the body of Christ. The church is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. Let's make it personal. The church, you see, is not peripheral to my life or to your life. Your life is peripheral to the church. How's that? That's a bit close to home. Okay. Peripheral, you know what it means? Peripheral means outer edge, outer boundary. It's related to the key issue, but it's not of central importance. That's what the dictionary says. And often we treat church like that, don't you think? Yes, it's cool, it's there. I know it's there on a Sunday, it's blessed, but I go on with my life. It's not the key issue. But yeah, Scripture says you've got a thong around. The body, the church, is the key issue, the body of Christ. And everything else happens on the outer periphery of the church. And that's how God looks at the world. And it makes sense. Because Jesus is Jesus and He's the King of Kings. Amen. He's been given the name above every other name. And He is the head. So His body is pretty important. Okay? So when God looks at the world, He sees the body of Christ. He says, yes, that's my body. Everything revolves around that. Now guys, this is one of those scriptures. It's one of those that if you believe that the word is true, you can't read it and walk away and not change. I mean, you can't read it and walk away and think, oh, that's nice, and stay the same. Okay, I'm going to throw this out there. When I read this, I knew, okay, Lord, I'm going to have to change some things. Well, either I'm saying yes, amen, that's true in my life, or I realize, oh my goodness, I need to change. Because I've got bad news for some of you. If something has to change, God is not going to change. Okay, we know that, so we're going to have to change. Okay, amen. Let's continue. And that's, I think, the question we ask this morning. Is the church a nice add-on to your life? It's blessed, you know. I know it's blessed to go to church. I've got nice friends there. I've got people praying for me. It's pushing me into the right direction. It's kind of a boost, you know. When I need a boost in my studies, I've got a home group, get a prayer, sorted. When I need a job or whatever, it's a nice add-on. It's a good kind of, it's good to have that thing on a Sunday, you know, a nice fellowship with people. Or is it the thing that is of central importance? Is it the thing around which everything else revolves, the body of Christ? Is it the thing around which I plan my year, my holidays? Is it the thing around which I plan my finances? How's that? To be honest, often it's not. But this morning, we have to look at what Scripture says, and we say, okay, Lord, I need to make a shift. If I want to be healthy like this little plant, I need to make a shift. Now, if it is possible for this little plant to think, okay, if this plant could kind of consider ways it could improve its own life, what would be a good place to start? What do you think? If I could give this plant some advice, okay, this would be hanging there with me. I would say you need to invest in the soil, because that's where your food comes from. I would just say, listen, buddy, you need to improve the soil. If you want to invest into your life, improve the soil. Now, okay, this plant cannot do that, but you and I can. If I want to flourish, I must invest in the soil. If I want to grow, if I want to make sure I'm healthy, I'm getting the right nutrients, I want to make sure the soil is healthy. Are you with me? And you know what? The blessed thing is, you and I can actually do something about it. This one can't, but you and I can. If we believe we've been planted here for a reason, in this body, then I want to say to you, invest in the soil. I've got a tip for you. This is going to change your life. Everything in your life, your success in relationships, your success in your studies or your work, whatever you tackle, is directly connected to the health of the body that you're in. Like this little plant. Everything in this little plant's life is connected to the health of the soil. If the soil is not healthy, the plant's not going to do well. If the soil is dry, it's going to struggle. If the soil is flourishing, the plant's going to flourish. Everything in your life is connected to this church. It's not bad news, it's good news. Okay? That means, if you want to flourish in your relationships, invest in the church. If you want to flourish in your work, invest in the body of Christ. If you want to flourish in your career, whatever you take on, this is the place you need to invest. It's the body of Christ. The soil that you planted in. Are you hearing me this morning? Okay. So I've got a few minutes left on this voice. The sooner this little plant realizes its health is dependent on the soil, the better. If this plant decides, now I can do things on my own, I'm going on my own. This soil, sorry buddy, I'm leaving you now, but this is it. I'm checking, I'm going somewhere else. It's going to die. You agree? The sooner this plant realizes my life and my health is directly related to the health of the soil and is connected to the body, the soil, the better. Okay? It's so firmly tied to that together, you cannot separate them. Unfortunately, you and I don't get up in the morning thinking, oh, I wonder how can I improve church today? I wonder how can I invest in the church today? where you think, you know, I must do this, and I must study, and I must work hard, and it's good, it's good. All those things are good. I'm not saying those things aren't good. I'm saying, when last did you and I ask God, Lord, how can I make your body more glorious today? How can I make the body of Christ glorious today? How can I, with my gifts and what you've blessed me with, invest into your body today? I want to start the day like that. Okay. Excuse me. Are you recording this? We need a lot of on there. Sorry about that, everybody listening. Pray for my health. Okay. Now, I'm going to read from Ephesians 5. Often when you read this, we focus on the relationship between husbands and wives, which is important. Okay? Even those of you that are not close to getting married, you might be closer than you think. But today, we're going to read the same scripture, and we're going to focus on what it's being compared to. Okay? So let's see how God feels about the church. This is important, you agree? How Jesus feels about the body. Okay. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. How? Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church. It's powerful. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. How's that? How does Jesus feel about the church? He's passionate about his bride. He nourishes and cherishes it. He gave his life. He laid down his life for us, for the church. And you know what? Scary thing happens often. We find people getting hurt in church, or I don't know, different reasons. They come to you and they tell me, you know, I was in this church and that church, and you know what? They're so terrible, and this church sucks. And you know what they did? They did this, this, and this, and this, and they start mouthing off about that congregation and that church. You know, when somebody does that, I get very nervous. You know, it's kind of just step away from the vehicle, so I just kind of back away and try and see if I can find some rubber boots. No, but the thing is, when somebody talks about like that about the bride of Jesus, I get nervous. And I don't want to be around them, because that's dangerous. Amen? If you don't believe me, try this. Find the biggest, strongest man you know. Okay, he must be married. Okay? And go to him and insult his wife in his face. And see how he reacts. Okay, guys, I'm joking about this. But how often don't we do that with Jesus? How often do we go on about some church there and this? Oh, they like this and they deceived and they this and they that. We can't do that. We can't talk like that about the bride of Christ. And some of us go straight to Jesus and say, Jesus, you know what? Obviously we hurt and stuff, but we say in his face, we tell him, your bride sucks. It's not cool. And some of us think, you know, Jesus just wants to give you a slap. If Jesus slaps you, you'll know about it. Maybe, but then the Father probably just holds him back and says, no, son, just wait till the day of judgment, then you can. Because we will be accountable for every word. But guys, I want to encourage you this morning. There's lots of churches that we maybe disagree about things, the way things we do things, the way some doctrinal things, okay, I understand that. But that doesn't mean you and I can say negative things and bad things about the bride of Jesus. Amen? So I just encourage you, be careful what you say about the body. Be careful what you think about the body. Because even though the things we disagree, the different members, different parts, doing different things differently, it doesn't mean you and I can now come and insult the bride of Jesus. Amen. Are you with me? Good. Maybe shake the person next to you and say, pray for Yaku's voice. He's going to make it. Okay. Same thing, you know, if I come into a room and I hear somebody going off about how useless Adna, my wife, is, somebody's going to get hurt there. Okay? I'm going to take my pastor hat off and I'm going to sort that person out. I can tell you this now. So let's watch our mouths. Let's not criticize the church. Let's speak life. Amen? Let's honor God in this. Now, I have a question for you. Who is the body of Christ? Let's read 1 Corinthians 12. Makes it quite clear. From verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ. How's that? It answers your question right there. Eh? Paul writes, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these. I'm just going to pause there for a moment. So right there, that answers your question, all doubt and confusion out of the way. Who is the body of Christ? Everybody raise a hand. And just to make sure you understand, we go like this. Okay, we are the body. Often, you know, this happens from time to time. People come to me and say to me, in church, people in church, okay, come to me. I say, you know, Jaco, when is the church going to get involved in that thing and that thing? You know, we've got this thing in our community. There's a real need there. When is the church going to come and do something about it? Although even worse, he says, when are you guys? And I don't get angry anymore. I just realize this person has got no understanding of the body of Christ. What I should say is, you know, do you tell me? Because you are the body of Christ. When are you going to do something about it? If you feel something on your heart, and you feel the church should do something, that means, okay, if I'm noticing it, it's my job to fix it. If you notice something in church that irritates you, guess what? I've got good news for you. It's your job, because that's something that God is laying on your heart. We often don't experience irritation as being God speaking to us. But let me give you, it's often like that. There's something that irritates you, something I notice that I'm not happy with. That's God speaking to you. If this is looking so beautiful this morning, but if you come in the morning and you see this, but something's out of place, fix it. Because you're the body. Amen? Now, this is interesting. If you believe, if you and I believe we are the body of Christ, that means that every person I meet, every person you meet, is meeting with Christ. Does that make sense? Every person that I have an encounter with is having a Christ encounter. Yes? You with me? Now, I don't know. Sometimes we think we can switch this on and off. Get up in the morning and I said, wow, today's Sunday. I reckon today I'm going to represent Jesus. I want to smile. I want to not kick my neighbor's dog like I do every morning. I'm going to, you know, be nice to people. I'm not going to frown at everybody in the elevator like I normally do. I'm going to represent Jesus today. It doesn't work like that. We are the body. So whether it's a good or a bad Christ encounter, yes, that may differ, but it's still a Christ encounter. And you and I need to check, okay, that encounter that person had with me right now, was it a good Christ encounter? Did they see the Christ, the real Christ in me? That lady that ran into you from the back with the trolley in Sainsbury's on the heels, blah, you know? How did you respond? Was it a good Christ encounter? How did I represent Christ? There's many people that live where you live that the only Bible they will ever read is you. The only Christ that will ever meet is you. Amen. There's an amen from the back. Thank you. Then we need to ensure that Christ encounter they have with me and you is a good one. Is one that will draw them to Christ. Is one that will draw them to His body. Is one that will bring them to a place of salvation. Are you with me this morning? I don't even know how long I should go. Is it already 12? Okay. Now, if I look at my own body, it's useful. Okay, it's not very useful at the moment because I'm a bit ill. But if I want to do something, I want to go have something to eat in the canteen. Guess what? I use my body to do that. You with me? If I want to go and get some exercise, I like cycling, I go for a cycle, I use my body to do that. Because this is very complicated. I know you guys will get it. But everything I want to do on this earth, I do with my body. You agree? Do you think Jesus is different? No. Everything he wants to do, yeah, he does through his body. Everything. Ephesians, as we already says, through which he speaks and acts. How's that? Everything God wants to do on the earth, he will do through you and me, through the body. No plan B. It will either scare you or excite you. But that's the truth. He wants to do it through the body. Often when we say God wants to use you and doing the will of God, we get, oh dear, it sounds like hard work. It sounds tiring. You know, it feels like a burden. I have to serve at church. I can't believe it. You know, it's such a schlep. Jesus writes in John 4, he speaks about, he says, my food is to do the will of my Father. How's that? My food. It nourishes me. It fills me up. It fulfills me. It makes me grow. It keeps me going. The food, my food is to do the will of my Father. It's not a burden. It's food. I don't know about you. I like eating. I grew up in a house where I had to finish everything on my plate. Okay, growing up as a boy. Now these days, I'm told my body is not a dustbin. Okay, so now I'm trying to be, but that's how I grew up. And spiritually, I reckon we should be like that. Eat all your food. Finish it. I don't want anything left on the plate. I want to do the will of my Father. Amen. I want to, you know, often if you feel undernourished spiritually, here's a tip. Eat your food. Do the will of the Father. Eat the word as well, obviously. Nourishes us. It's not a schlep. It's not a burden. If serving in church, if doing the will of God is a burden to you, I want to pray for you today. Because I've been there myself. And that means something is not in order. Okay, are you with me? It's nourishing, it's encouraging, it builds you up, it keeps you going. It's your food. Okay, let's read there. Continue. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various tongues, varieties of tongues. So we see all these different bodies, but we see also first apostles. So there's an order that God puts in. I have to finish now, so I'm going to rush a bit, these last few. But God has put an order in place. Often it makes us nervous. We don't like that there's an order in church. Okay, we don't mind if there's an order in the hospital. We don't mind if there's an order at work, or if there's an order in the traffic department, or there's order in the country. We don't mind that. But we mind if it's in church. If there's somebody that is, you know, we're like, no, I speak to God. Me and Jesus are like this. I speak to God myself. No, nobody can tell me what to do. Yes, God. Yes, Jesus speaks to you personally. Amen. Okay, we all have a personal relationship with God, but most of the time, God's going to speak to you in the way that He says He's going to speak to you, and He says it's going to be through the body. Are you with me? It's going to be through other people, maybe somebody that is in authority over you spiritually. Okay. Let's not get confused about this, guys. If we honor the order, and we get into the order that God has established, we're going to flourish. Is it difficult to take me seriously when I talk like this? Okay. Quickly touch on Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 16. And he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? Okay, now we know there's the fivefold. Why did he give the fivefold ministry? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This is good. Okay, this is good news. Yes, first the fivefold ministry. Okay? Yeah, to equip the saints. Who are the saints? Yes, you got to put up your hands again. I know this is hard work. This is interaction. Okay, we are the saints. So, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, this is, again, this is really the bad news for you today. But the good news is we're all ministers of the gospel. Amen. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Why? For the edifying of the body of Christ. Until we all come to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things, into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, now focus here, the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. There you go. If you ever wondered how church works, this is it in a few verses. It's very powerful, guys. If we can get this, we're going to go far. First down, I'm going to pull out a few things here. Firstly, can you imagine this? Can you imagine this picture of a body where every part does its share? Can you imagine the body of Christ in this community? Us included, this body. Can you imagine what God can do in this community if everybody does it their bit? Powerful. Because you know what? We are plan A. The body of Christ is plan A for this community. In other words, if every part does its bit, it's endless because God's will be done. Amen? That's exciting. That excites me because it means, yes, that doesn't mean one guy has to do everything and all the sound setup and all the ministering, David has to do everything. Then yes, it's going to go well, but it's not going to be as good as when every member does their bit. Then, when we come in unity around what the purpose of God is, when we come, everybody bits brings a little bread and fishes, and everybody bits a little gifting. It's not big, but it's my bit. Then we're going to see miracles happen. We're going to see God transform this community, this campus, this area like you've never thought possible. Are you with me this morning? If every person, if every bit, every part does its share. And I want to lift up another thing here. Yeah? Another thing. Verse 15, he says, yeah. Before it says that we may no longer be children. Okay, and then he says, yeah. That we may grow up in all things. Oh, isn't that good news? God wants us to grow up. That's not good news. You know, if my little girl, she's very cute. She's beautiful. She's got 6 teeth already. I don't know, for some of you it might not sound like impressive, but a few weeks ago she only had 2. In any case, if she throws a tantrum, she's not into that yet, but I can see she's getting there. If I take something away from her, or I don't give her what she wants, you know, if she spits out her food, it's cute, kind of, you know, we kind of laugh. But do you agree that if 16 years down the line she still does that, it's not going to be cute anymore? You can see that picture where it's not nice, okay? If, you know, throwing a tantrum, spitting stuff out, it's not going to be cool. We laugh at that, but in the spirit, we don't get it. Spiritually, you and I throw tantrums often. We don't get what we want. Oh, God, you know. We act like children. And God says, I want you to grow up. What does it mean to be grown up? Firstly, let's pull out 2 things. Firstly, grown up can handle authority, can handle responsibility. Okay? And can handle not getting what we want now. Okay? Not ever. Grown up can handle that. Are you with me? So, spiritually speaking, and it's funny, you know, we can have somebody that's doing well in all areas of life, but spiritually, we ask them to take responsibility of us. No, I'm not qualified, or I'm busy, or whatever. I'm going to encourage you guys. God wants us to come to a place where you can take responsibility spiritually, where you can take responsibility for the place you live in the spirit, the friendship, the friends that God has given you, family has given you, your colleagues, where you can say, God, okay, this is my place. I'm going to take authority now over this area because this is where God has put me. We moved into a new home, my wife and I. We anointed the house. We said, God, this is our spot. Only the kingdom of God will come in this place. Nothing else. There will be no demonic activity in the house. Because I say so. Because God has put us there. Because we've got authority in the Spirit. Are you with me, guys? If God wants you to disciple people, it's going to be a time where you and I have to say, yes, God, I'm here to make disciples. That's the truth. If you're confused about that, I'll probably come and preach about that in a few weeks. But that's why we're here, okay? And that means you and I have to take responsibility for other people. It means it's like having children. It's very scary. The making disciples is like having children. It's inconvenient. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort, and it hurts sometimes. And you lose sleep. Okay, I'm not going to go too much into that, but it's inconvenient. A lot of people don't want to have children because it's inconvenient. It's the same in the Spirit. We don't want to make disciples because it's inconvenient. Okay, you're laughing at me. This is the truth. But I'm going to say to you, if you know you're not in a place where you could take responsibility in the Spirit, just be honest with yourself. To go to someone that you can trust and tell them, listen, please pray with me. I need to grow up spiritually. There's no condemnation. Okay, God just says he wants all of us to grow up. Amen. And then secondly also, don't throw a tantrum when things don't go your way. Amen. Guys, this is in love. Are you receiving it that way? Okay. And you know what? I notice it in my own life sometimes. I notice something happens to me and it knocks me. It causes like such a lot of turmoil in my life, and I realize it shouldn't. This little thing that happens shouldn't cause my life to go upside down. Are you with me? Sometimes things happen and we're like, ah! And we realize, okay, I need to grow up in this area. Okay, so we all need to grow still. Okay. Can you stand with me this morning? But look at this picture here at the end. Of every part doing its share. Of every, what every joint supplies, the effective working by which every part does its share. It's a powerful picture of the possibility that exists when we each bring a little bit. Okay, I'm feeling like I preached to the choir this morning. Okay, I know you guys are committed. But you know these guys out there that are struggling with this, okay? I want you guys, we need to pray. Because if every part of the body does its bit, the body flourishes and the body is powerful to do what God wants us to do. And you know, people ask about this commitment thing. Why must I commit to one church? Why? How's this thing? Why must I be committed? And you know, you guys had community this week talking about committing. I have a younger sister. And I would say now, for instance, she's not married. Gentlemen, if you're interested, you can send your applications. She needs in any case, she's amazing. If my younger sister has a friend, say now she has a guy friend, okay? Male friend. Say, for instance, they met at high school and they've been friends for 10 years now. And they do everything together and they kind of spend a lot of time together, and that she doesn't have any other male friends, but they're just friends. It's just a special friend. You know what? I'm going to have a very serious conversation with that guy. You with me? And I'm going to say, listen, what are you doing here? If you have any intention to take this relationship further, then say so. If you don't, go somewhere else. Okay? I'm going to be very friendly and loving and everything. But I'm going to have a serious conversation with that guy. You know, and that's the same in the Spirit. You know, we sometimes think, okay, yeah, why should I commit? But you know that when that guy decides this is going somewhere, and he asks her out, that relationship changes significantly. Do you agree? Are you with me? Okay. And when that guy puts a ring on her finger, that relationship changes significantly. Do you agree with me? And obviously the time when they come into covenant and they are married, now this relationship has gone into a whole different dimension. Now they are in agreement. Now, you know, Scripture says one will put 1,000 to flight, two 10,000. Exponential just effectivity and power. And not only that, now there's a potential to bear fruit, to multiply. That's what happens when we commit. The relationship changes. The potential changes. That's why we and I need to decide, I'm committed to the soil. Okay, this plant knows it can't go anywhere else because it's going to die. You and I don't get that. I want to encourage you guys. We know a lot of people out there that struggle with this thing. We need to pray. People need to understand, I need to commit to a body. Because then I can bear fruit. Then I can. There's a covenant. There's a safety in that relationship. Are you with me? Okay. We've covered a lot this morning. But I want us to pray. If you know this morning, God has touched your heart about something, whether it be the way you relate to the church or to church in general, and you know you need to make a change, I want you to be bold this morning. Okay? And respond and say, God, I need to make a shift. Even if it's about, if you realize I'm not at a place where I can take responsibility in the spirit, I need to grow up a bit. I want to pray for you as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, even though the truth sometimes makes us a bit miserable, I thank you that your word says the truth will make us free as well, God. And we receive that this morning, God. That, Lord, we acknowledge, God, that we are, our lives are all upside down sometimes, God. We fit you in here and there. We fit church in here and there. But we're so busy with our own things, God. Oh, God, this morning we humble ourselves before you, God. And we ask that you would help us to repent. As your word says, repentance means a change of mind. To change the way we think. To change the way we live around church, God. Around your body. And us being your body on the earth. God, so we humbly come before you, Lord. And we acknowledge that you, that we can't do this in ourselves, Lord. We can just bring our hearts before you. We ask that you turn our hearts, God. And as you're standing, if you know you need to make a shift in any of these areas we've spoken about, and I want you just to respond in terms of as a practical illustration. Say, okay, I need to move from where I am now. I need to move somewhere. I need to make a shift. So I just want you to step out from where you are, just as to show God. Yeah, and just to come and stand here in the front, we're just going to pray together. If there's anybody that just needs to make a shift around that, I just want to pray with you. Don't be shy. Anybody else? Okay. Even if you where you are, I just want you to, just if you need to just respond to God, and we're going to pray now, I just want you to lift your hand up, but just respond to God. And if you do need to make a shift in your heart, do that today. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient for us, God. We thank you, Father, that even where we're at, Lord, you come and meet us where we're at right now, Lord. And I pray for every person here this morning. I thank you for Nadine and her boldness, God. I thank you for every person, Lord, that you meet us right there where we're at, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that you give us the strength and you give us the grace to shift. You give us the grace to make a change when we need to make a change. Father, I thank you, Lord, for every person in this place that have been planted here for a reason. And I pray, Father, this morning, Lord, that you empower us to be a body, Father, that each part does its share, that each joint and each member does what it needs to do so that the body can operate, God, as you want it to. Our Father, and if we have related to the church in an unbiblical way in the past, we repent in the name of Jesus, God. And right now we acknowledge, God, that our life is peripheral to the church. My life is peripheral to the church. My life revolves around the center point, the body of Christ. Father, I thank you, Lord, even as we go into this week, that you would help us practically show us how our lives need to change, that this scripture will be true in our life, God, in the name of Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name that you give us grace that we can grow up spiritually, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you point out in our lives, that you show us where you want us to take responsibility about for people, discipling people, walking a road with someone. I pray that you'd give us the grace to grow up, Lord, in all things in Christ. And let your name be glorified, God, in and through us. Let every person we meet have a powerful Christ encounter. Let your name be lifted up, God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's the end of my voice. So if you need prayer, please come to the front and Sally will help me. Thanks, guys, and God bless you. You may. Hey? Thank you.
I just want to say, you know, it says the instructions for growing the plant, and it just says if you want to stop the plant flourishing or spreading, keep containerized. And you might say, I don't like mint, and I don't want it to take over my garden, and I don't want it to take over my window box, I like chives or whatever. It's just symbolic. It's not about the mint plant. It's just symbolic about what we want to do in the spiritual. So just to encourage you, don't keep it in this pot. If you need compost, come to us, or get a window box, or dig in your garden, and just symbolically plant that thing so that you will also flourish and grow.
Amen. Thanks, guys. If you have any prayer need, if you are sick, or if any other need, God doesn't change His mind. He still heals. Amen. And He's our provider. And He has the answer for you. So please come to the front and we'll pray for you. That God bless you and flourish. Be fresh and flourishing in the house of God. Amen. Thanks.